Okay, Rabbi Isai. Okay, the Rosh Rabbeinu Yosher Bar Yechiel. I can always point out again that the Rosh, again, one of the leading Paiskim, of course, of his time in Germany. And actually, he was a descendant of Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle. Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle, of course, was one of the early Rishonim, way back, which in fact is which influenced the Parish of Rashi that we have today. Because the Parish of Rashi that we have today is because Rashi studied in Germany, came from France, and he studied in the yeshivas of Worms and Mainz, and among of these various Rabbeim that Rashi brings from time to time, he says Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, Rashi brings down Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Yochor. The Yaakov Bar Yochor, who is purported as Kaver, there is a Tziyun still today standing, some sort of a simon of a with some writing etched out on it, which says the Kaver of Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Yochor was the Rebbe of Rashi, and he was the Talmud of Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle. And therefore, the Perusha Manshas that Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle taught, and some of it as we have, which is printed on the margins of the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Gershom was the main Rosh Yeshiva, and who taught the Gemara based upon his teaching, his structure, his style of learning, that influenced his Talmud Rabbeinu Yaakov Bar Yochor, who in fact was the influence of Rashi. So many of the Perushim of Rashi just automatically, instinctively, Rashi had a lot of Kuntaresim, as we know. That's why Tosis brings him down Perish Bekuntres, which means right, written in the notebook, various notebooks, like today, like a Talmud would sit down, listen, write down a Shir of Rosh Yeshiva, and Rashi wrote down those Perushims. So even he doesn't mention Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle, if he mentions his Rabbeim and so on and so forth, some disagree with his Rabbeim. We know that many times as well. But the general Mahalach of Rashi teaching comes from Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle. And the Rosh was a descendant of Rabbeinu Gershom Aragoyle. Also was a descendant of another great Rishon, which was one of the also early, was the Ravon, Rabbeinu Eliezer Bar Noson. Eliezer Bar Noson was basically one of the greatest of the Rishonim who in Germany. He lived in Mainz. And the first record, actually, I think, in terms of authoritative record, that there was a Jewish community in Frankfurt, right, going back almost 1,000 years, is from the Chuvas Aravon, because the Aravon was asked whether a person who was a passerby, a traveler in Frankfurt, actually, you know, he writes, whether a person is mechuyev to be mishtatev to pay taxes. The question is, how long does a person have to live in an area? You know, is it shloshim yoyim? Is it yud beis chodesh? In order to be considered to be a toshev, that he has the achrayus to pay and to contribute to the taxes that the general community does. In any case, it's Kigoyin, a city, he says, like Frankfurt. So there's clearly that there was an organized Jewish community going back, at least at that time, which is in the Chuvas, Reb Eliezer Bar Noson, which is the Ravon. The Ravon, by the way, wrote Shalos HaChuvas, which is called Evan Ezer. So the name Evan Ezer was not started by the Balaturim, and later by the Beis Yosef, who used Evan Ezer as one of the four Chalokim of the Shulchan Aruch, Rechaim, Yordaya, by then Evan Ezer. But really that Evan Ezer is really by the Ravon himself. As a matter of fact, Evan is Oshetavis, Eliezer ben Noson. Evan, that was the Ravon. And in the past we have mentioned that the Rashbam, who was an article of Rashi, you know, who was a Rishon, of course, one of the greatest Rishonim, of course, whose title that we learn, and that we have, the Perusha Manshas, Rashbam, the titles that he writes on the Ravon, it's incredible. It's lines and lines of titles. You are the greatest, you are the illumination of Klal Yisrael, you are the greatest Tzaddik, you are the anything that you can imagine in Godless, and so on and so forth, that the Rashbam writes on the Ravon. In any case, the Rosh was also a descendant of the Ravon. We had mentioned that when the Rosh's Rebbe's primary Rebbe, which was the Maram Rotenberg. So when Maram Rotenberg was imprisoned, right, in the tower in Anzisheim, he was imprisoned because you have to realize he tried to escape, actually, to leave Germany because of all the tsaras. And he almost made it. But then he was in Lombardy, there was a Mishumet, there's always this Mishumodim, you know, that recognized him. And he went and he mustered to the authorities that the Maram is trying to escape, and so on. He was arrested, and he was put into prison. And as we mentioned, that he was put into prison, and the Rosh was one of the main. The Bingi was a great Talmud. The Rosh also had the greatest influence over all Germany, the Jewish communities, to raise money, right, to redeem his Rebbe, to ransom, and that was the purpose. They arrested him in order to extort money from the Jewish community, and the Rosh was very, very influential about that. As a matter of fact, the Rosh also signed, was ready at least, willing to sign as a guarantor to the exorbitant amount of money. He's going to guarantee that the money will be raised. And but his hand was tied because his Rebbe, the Maram, said, refused to allow himself to be ransomed. I stay in jail, he says, because I don't want the Jewish communities, in any Jewish community, should be held, right? Should the government would be, this would be a motive. You ransom one, then they kidnap another one, and so on again. A way to extort money for the Jewish community, and therefore, this was the way at the corner we mentioned, which is the Mishnah himself is getting impoidiness ashuin. Pidyon shuim is a great thing, but not to be extorted. The Ferish Mishnah, impoidiness ashuin, yoser mekadei demayim. You cannot ransom. Halacha is not allowed. You cannot ransom a Jewish prisoner, right? Way above the value, basic value, what a person would be worth if he be sold as an eved, you know, on the market and so on and so forth. And again, it's because of extortion. So Tosfos goes on to say, but a god lador you're allowed to. God lador is different because the whole world klal yisrael needs him. So the Marshal writes in Masechtas Gittin, actually says that they said that to the Imam Rothberg. He says, I'm not a God Lador. He says, God Lador is fine, he says, but I'm not a God Lador. And he did not allow himself to be ransomed. The Rosh took over as the leader of German Jewry once the Maram Rothenberg was nifter. Mamish, literally the Malam Mokim. Maram Rothenberg was the Rabban Shel Yisrael, the leading point, the preeminent Godel of his time, and the Rosh clearly was his Malam Mokim, and he was involved with all of the conferences that Yidden had to come together in order to protect themselves from another Gzeira, another pogrom, and so on and so forth. And as a matter of fact, he says, from all over, the Shilas came to the Rosh. And he basically made a lot of takonis. The Rosh himself made a lot of takonis based upon the needs, the various needs of the time. He had the koich to do it because he was the preeminent godel and the preeminent yemen poisach. As time went along, right, the Rosh realized that his fate may be similar to the Maram Rothenberg, because now that he is the Malamokim, the government recognized that he is the greatest godel, and so they can, now there's another opportunity, second opportunity, to go after him, to arrest him, and again to be able to extort money from the community. And the Rosh decided it's time to leave. And as we mentioned, that he makes his way to Spain. In Spain, he doesn't come out straight to Spain. First, he goes to Provence, which is the southern part of France, and his name preceded him wherever he went, and he was received with great honor. And he also did not want to get involved with a certain machlokes, which was Rabbi Abba Mori Hayarchi, somebody we should talk about another time. There's somebody in the Odom Godel, Rabbi Abba Mori Hayarchi, and the reason it was called Hayarchi, Yerach is from Loshen Moon, because he basically was a godel in France, in Lunel. Lunel is from lunar, from moon. And he was the godel of that area, so it was Rabbi Abba Mori Hayarchi. He was someone who basically was a bar plukta, believe it or not, of the Rajbo. You can see what kind of man of stature he was. And the idea was machlokes in regarding to permit or to put a ban on studying philosophy at the time. And anyway, the Rosh began that he was passing through. So right away, we have another signature. And I said, I'm not from here, and I don't plan to stay here. So he did not want to get involved regarding that situation. From there, as we mentioned, he first stopped of the Rosh is in Barcelona, who was the chief rabbi of Barcelona, that was the Rajva. For all intents and purposes, the Rajva was the chief rabbi of all over, all of northern Spain, all of Castilia. And the Rosh, by the way, was no stranger to the Rajva, nor the Rajva to the Rosh, because while the Rosh was still in Germany, they corresponded. And there are letters back and forth from the Rajba and the Rosh to Pulim and Teire. And you can imagine the great simcha that there was when the Rajba was able to receive the Rosh upon him, to finally meet him. And as we mentioned, that it was the Rajba who wrote to the various kehillas that regarding that there's an opening that they should accept the Rosh and appoint him, that he should be the chief rabbi and so on and so forth. And he became, in fact, what's called Tultila. That's the Loshon Rishonim, which is Toledo. The Loshon Tultila, if you go through the Beis Yosef and Evan Ezer and Choshe Mishpat, the Beis Yosef brings down many psokim of the Rosh, which already was enacted by the Rosh in Tultila. So if someone doesn't know what Tultila is, so you know that's the word that is used, that's Toledo really. But in Loshon Rishonim, Toledo, it's not written as Toledo, it's written as Tultila. And He becomes there, and what does the Rosh do? He's not only that, he becomes, as we say, the Toledo was his base, but his fame, again, very, very quickly, all over, and Shilas came to him from all over Spain, from everywhere, and he was the main authority, and there was, in Barcelona, as mentioned, the Rashba was the one, later on, who signed a ban against philosophy. I may have here a copy, some of it, of the Loshen. The Rashba wrote a ban against philosophy. But to show you over here, this actually in Chuvas Rashba is also mentioned somewhat of it, and that was regarding a lot of opposition, we have to realize, also started with against the Sifrei HaRambam. And that actually expanded itself, because they felt that the Rambam also, the philosophy, like Meir Nevuchim and so on of the Rambam, which had a lot of oppositions, we know. Many great Rishonim were against it. But one thing led to another, also it expanded in philosophy in general. And they're putting a ban on it. And there was also another situation was regarding a big discussion, how to view a Gadata. There's somebody, an Odom Godel by the name of Rabbi Yedaya HaPnimi. Rabbi Yedaya HaPnimi wrote a sefer called, which is called Bina Soilom Bechina Soilom. It's a sefer on philosophy, how to look at the world, at the narishkeit of the world. And the shaila was how to view Agarata. When you see it, learn Agarata. Do we expect to take it as actually happened, as real, or do we view it as only as a moshel? And you have to realize it's not such a posh thing. There's difference of opinion. When you learn a goddess, so many goddesses in Shas. So when Mara says a story. So is that to be taken as fact? In fact, does it happen? So in Rishonim Gufa, going back, there's difference of opinion. As a matter of fact, so therefore some taku who wrote and said, Rabbi Yedaya HaPnimi said, that not all goddesses are the same. Some agadahs are to be taken as fact, he said, and some stories and agadahs are taken as a moshul, as a parable, to learn something from it. Now, who's to decide? But Akoponim, this is what he writes. This is at least his opinion. Rabbi Yedaya HaPnimi. So, the Rajbe, Loshon of the Rajbe, and Chuvas Rajbe, Chelikalas and Matov Tezov, Lebal Yilmoid Ish Mibnei Kiholenu. There was a ban, he said, that no one, he says, from our Kehillah should learn Besifra Hayavonim in the Sfarm of the Greeks. Number one, Ashechibru b'chokhmas ha'teva, which they tried to reduce everything to nature, removing the godly element from the world. He says, ben ha'mechuborim b'lishoyim, rather to learn it in the original Greek, ben shehu'atku b'lishanachar, whether it's translated in any other language. Not to study it, mahayoyim, this ban is effective from today till the next 50 years. They made it for 50 years for some reason. And he says, until ad hayoyz, he says, until you're 25 years old. Notice, after age 25, you can be sort of like be trusted to go and to study other disciplines as well. But until the age of 25. By the way, it was an exception, which they allowed, is to study medicine. Now, that's study medicine, that's okay. So, philosophy in general, they ban until the age of 25. You're not strong enough. First, learn Torah, learn things that which is necessary to build your character, to build your commitment, right, to your Yiddishkeit. And then, after that, 25. But he said, the learning Chokhmah Serafua was not taken out of it. So, in any case, so, as we pointed out here, that the Rajbe wrote that this thing, and it was sent to the Rosh, because the Rosh in Toledo had influence, he said, on all the Chachomim around, and therefore it was sent to the Rosh, and the Rosh also at that time he signed it. Should mention that the power that the Rosh had at that time was by the government was so autonomous that they basically could take the law in their own hands. And that was a Jewish law. There was a government law that was for general. The Jewish community, due to the great leaders that was which is recognized by the government, that they basically implement the own law and conduct things according to the Jewish law. It came to a point, I believe Shabbos I mentioned, but here, when I mentioned that, first of all, I should also say, what the Rosh noted when he came to Spain, very interesting, that they were not studying enough Gemara. But rather what they used to do is learn the Rif, because the Rif, as you know, Rabbi Yisrael Kalfasi, is the Kitzer. You have all the pilpulas removed, and basically you have going down to the simply straight halacha. And that was most of the learning that when the Rosh came to Spain, there was not enough learning in Gemara. And the Rosh, Lamaisa, therefore, he says, was very upset about that and said it cannot be. And he very strongly established the yeshiva about learning Gemara, and with all the toises about the yeshiva, because the Rosh himself, that's where the toises, the Rosh comes from, that we have in many, many Mesechtes, which is the Pirushim of the Rosh, which is the teachings of himself and the great Balei HaTosis, which he was Makabel from Germany. That style of learning. And so the Rosh attracted Talmidim, really became very, very famous academy, and very, 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 very popular. Just to mention that one of the inyonim that they even gave them a right from the government, interesting thing, that Rabbonim, there was great Gedolim at the time also, who said to the Rosh that we've just received from the government a further power, and the power was raised to the level that someone basically who blasphemes, someone does something tremendously against the religion, that you could even, that you even given the right by the government for capital punishment. That the Ibezdin in the Jewish community was granted by the government that he can exercise capital punishment. The Rosh says, we are not done din in the Foshas today. We do not. We don't have a Sanhedrin, as there was in Yerushalayim, in the Mokem HaMikdash, and therefore the Rosh says, I don't want to have Ishaichis, he says, in the Nyonim of Ibud Nefesh. And upon that was the Rosh's Mahalach. So, just should mention just one more Nekuda before we go further, and that is an interesting thing. You know, we talk about Teiroso Yimnoso, you talk about someone who dedicates his life to learning. And usually Teiroso Yimnoso means, the way we understand it is, which a person basically is occupation, his total occupation is Torah. The Rosh comes along and says the following, this in Bava Basra. The Rosh in Bava Basra Ois Chovov, and he says the following, it's just a beautiful shita, the Rosh, what the Rosh says. The Rosh says, a Talmud Chochom, Sheyesh Loi Umnes, Talmud Chochom who has a job. Talmud Chochom has a job. He has a job where he has some business in order to have parnosa, kidei chayov. In other words, he's not looking for luxuries. He basically has a job, parnosa, to be able to sustain his family. The loyli sasher, he's not looking to get rich, but he has a job simply because survive. However, b'chol shoshu ponoi, but every time when he has time, when he's not doing business, he's mechazer al divrei Torah, he goes back to his learning, says the Rosh, who nikra, that's called Teiroso Yimnosoi. Teirosim Nosa does not have to mean that someone who does not have a job. The Rosh says, the point is, what do you do when you're not working? The Rosh says that if a person in his free time, when he's not working, making a parnosa, if he's learning, the Rosh says that's called Teirosim Nosa. So a person, that's it. So this is a interesting halach. And one more thing, which the Tshuva Sarosh brings down, and the interesting thing is, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, you know, there's no problem with Sfarim. Everybody can have a library, a small library, a large library. If you don't have your own, certainly if you have the ability, you can go to buy, and there are large libraries. There's no shortage of Sfarim today. That was not the case in the time of the Rishonim, going back to the 1200s, 1300s. And therefore, there used to be people that happened to manage to accumulate Sfarim, to accumulate books. So it was expected, it was hoped, that at least they would lend them out, in a way that the Sfarim would not get ruined. So the Rosh writes as follows. Listen to the Lashon of the Rosh. This is in Tshuvas HaRosh. Klal Tzadi Gimel. Al mi she'ena mashil Svarov. It's talking about somebody who is not willing to lend away his Sfarim. So somebody asked the Rosh a Shaila. Yeshesho'alto. The Rosh responds, you asked me a Shaila. Regarding, there was a Dayan. It seems that a Dayan was approached regarding someone who is not willing to lend out a sefer or two. So what did the dayan do? So al dayan shedon, a dayan paskind, al mi sheyesh loy sefer v'neroitzel ashiloy v'nosan olif knas asor zehuvim. He penalized them. So you have a sefer and you don't want to lend it out to give somebody else the opportunity to learn. So the knas find him. You find him asor zehuvim. It's quite a bit of money, 10 gold coins. B'chol yoyim. Every day that goes by and you're not lending out the sefer, so if neshoyim bitul Torah be'ir, apparently that was, I guess, the one of the lonely accesses, only accesses to Svarim. So because of that, person is not willing to lend out the Svarim, there's bitul Torah. Machmas chasora in Svarim be'ir. V'hoyu anoshim shoholem Svarim. There are people who had Svarim, they did not want to lend them. Lo yrotzu la'ashilom. So they asked the Rosh. Could be the guy, the victim. The guy asked the Rosh, he says, is this acceptable? Is it acceptable that a dying should paskin if someone is not willing, well, he's not willing, to lend a safe, that it should be penalized? Is it acceptable? You know what the Rosh says? You're for them. He paskined appropriately. Paskin good, he says. Vani maskim imoy. Ibulvad? Oh, but look what the Rosh says. Take three people to evaluate, he says, how much the safer is worth. That in case the borrower damages it, he'll have to make sure to pay the full amount. So we don't want the person, the lender, to lose. On the one hand, we want him to have the foresight and the understanding and the good heart to lend out for him, but not the expense of losing it. So the Rosh says, "Ublavachu yeshoyim ushloishu shamoyim hasefer." Vim yifchas v'yiskalkel, right? If it gets ruined, she yishalem hapchas api oisem shamoyim. He said, and not only that, if you borrow a sefer, the yitain mashkin, you give a mashkin, you have collateral. It's like taking a loan. So to make sure that the sefer goes back also, right? So mamela, so this is, again, some of the perushim of the Rosh. All right, Rabbi, let's take a look here now. The New York is Chaim. Okay, so again, we're still, of course, by Yom Rishon. Right, the first item we had was Lisrachik min Agaivit, the distance from Gaivit, Betachlis Sarichuk, as far as possible. The Chay min Achanivis, from flattery. And he also says, the Chay min Hasheker, the Hakozov. Also, a person should distance himself from lying and deceiving. It's not very clear what's the difference between Sheker, lying, and Chozov. We always say sheker v'chozov. Say sheker v'chozov. We want to emphasize that something's not true. Say sheker v'chozov. So what is sheker and what is chozov? So just interesting. We're just going to mention here two perushim just at first, and that is we find interestingly in one of the early rishayim, the Oruch. You realize the Oruch is Rabbeinu Yechiel Bar Noson. The Oruch lived in Rome, and as you know, he's brought down in Tosis in many, many places. Tosis in Ksubis, Tosis all over Shas. Tosis brings the Oruch very, very many times. And the Oruch is one, basically, was sort of like a dictionary. He had his own opinions in terms of interpreting words. Differently than Rashi would interpret it, or Tosis, or other Rishonim. And the Oruch brings down a posik in Yeshaya regarding Chozov. Where do you find the word Chozov? There's a posik that talks about Mayan regarding a well, actually, Chazvu Maimov, that whose waters never fail. Mayun actually chaz v'maymov. So the Oruch teaches is sheker is something that's boiled chikroi. Sheker is where the sheker is clearly, it's boiled, it's open, it's clear. Chozov is where there's a little bit of truth and a little bit of sheker. So in other words, the sheker is sort of like camouflaged. So sheker is something that's an open sheker. And chozov is something which is ktsas sheker, ktsas emes, right? And Mamela, he's saying it in a certain way to give you the impression that it's all true. So in any case, so the Rosh says here, v'chei min ha-sheker v'ha-chozov. Depends what the Rosh's interpretation of chozov is, not clear. But clearly these are two, right, terminologies. But the Oruch teaches, that's the difference. Sheker is an outright sheker, and chozov is something that is mixed. It is mixed, he says, a little bit sheker and a little bit of truth. Now, the Malbin in Yeshaya, the Malbim Yishai, Kapitel Chav Ches, to the Malbim, and also in the Bira HaGro and Mishle, so they say the Chilik Zazoy. He says that Sheker is something that is not able, in other words, the Sheker is to such an extent that closer than later, he says, the Sheker will be able to become evident. Chozov is something that is not, is something that's more like a hidden, but the sheker is not so pronounced, which it may take quite a long time for it to come out. So it seems to be from all of them that sheker is a stronger type of a lie than chozov, both from the perish of the Yorich and also from the perish of the Malbim. With sheker is something where the sheker is able to be misbar, it could come out clear very quickly that a person is lying. Certain lies a person say, it doesn't take long, you find out, you find out very quickly. It's a lie, it's not right, you can be mavar, you can check it out. Chozov is something you can't check out that easily. But eventually, it'll take a while, but you'll be able to find it if you search for it. The Sheker v'Chozov. So what we want to do is first of all, go straight to the sheet that we have, because it's a very, very interesting essay. And you see, we have more time, then we'll talk about and make some comments on it. We take a look at what we have here. It's a very fascinating essay. The Sefer Oyer Yohel, and Parshat Mishpatim from Rav Leib Chassman. Rav Leib Chassman, by the way, was Nifter 1936. Rav Leib Chassman was one of the great Balei Musar, was the Rebbe of Shlomo Shvadron. As you know, we used to quote him many, many times. As a matter of fact, Shlomo Shvadron was the one who was the Moitzo, he's the one who published the Musar Shemusan of his Rebbe, of Rav Leib Chassman, the Sefer Or Yohel. And he himself, Rav Leib Chassman, was a Talmud of the great Balei Musar, in other words, Rabbi Itzel Petterburger. Rabbi Itzel, as you know, was the great Talmidim of Rav Sol Salanter. That was Rav Itzel. And also he was a Talmud of the Alter of Slobodkir, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. So Rav Leib Chassman was a Talmud of Rav Itzel. He was also a Talmud of the Alter of Slobodkir. And he was a Mashgiach both in Telz, and he was also a Mashgiach in Chevron. Okay, that's who is known as the great Mashgiach. And it is known also his tremendous Hasamad in learning that, you know, on the day of his Chasana, the guy was sitting in the Beis Medrash, you know, with his suit, you know, until the time to go to the Chuppah. So that's what he found him. So even until the last moment, he was sitting in the Beis Medrash. All right. So let's take a look here. So he has here an essay, as you see there, it's titled Medvar Sheker Tirchot, because that's a posik in Parsha Mishpat. Distance yourself from Medvar Sheker. So he says as follows. Omar HaKosa, the posik says Medvar Sheker Tirchot. The Yeshul is Boinen, right? It deserves, he says, that we should study Ma Kori Dvar Sheker. What does sheker mean? Vatkama, and to what extent lehisrachik memen? When you say that a person has to distance himself, first of all, what is sheker? How do you define sheker? Right? You have to define it to know it. And also, he says, how far does a person have to distance himself? So lechayre says on the surface, what do you mean sheker? Sheker sounds an untruth. That's a sheker, right? So he says lechayre on mefarshim, right? On the surface, we interpret sheker is ho'oimer dover she'enoi. If you say something that's not true, that's sheker. So you'll say, so what is that to study? If it's not true, it's sheker. So he says, his brain is srichel on this. So what is there left to study? If it's untrue, that's sheker. Very simply, there's nothing to study. Chazal, he says, but take a look in Chazal. Right, let's look like our Chachomim v'novin at kama on rechoyke mohaemes. Look in Chazal and you'll find out how far many people feel, they try to, or they believe that they are men or people of truth. You'll find out that we may be very far from truth. Very far from truth. She'en on the yodu my sheker, because we don't know what sheker is. So you don't know what sheker is, you think that you're an ishemis. But the only reason you think you're an ishemis is because you don't know, you don't always recognize what sheker is. So you believe that you're an ishemis. And he goes on to point out. So he starts with a very interesting Gemara Shu'ez Daf Lamed Aleph. Actually, Reb Shalom himself said the Shmuz many years ago. The Gemara talks about a dayan. You realize a dayan is supposed to be impartial. That's the fundamental thing. A dayan is supposed to be impartial. Doesn't make a difference if one of the litigants, one of the baladinim, is an usher, very, very influential, and the other one is mamshah, humble, very, very poor man. He's not allowed to show favoritism to the usher. Clearly, because he's a rich man. A dayan is supposed to be impartial. So the question is, sometimes there are situations that make it difficult to be impartial. So we have to remove all the causes. We have to remove all the causes, all the potential situations, right, that may infringe on impartiality. So here's one of the situations that may make it difficult to be impartial, and we have to take care of it. Here's a case. Minayin, the Gemara says in Shavuos, Minayin l'shnayim shebar l'din. Imagine two people are coming for litigation, right? Echad lovush smartutin. One is poshet. He's dressed, right? He's dressed in rags. Shmatis. He's very poor. Tattered clothing. So one of them that's coming to the Beis Din is coming dressed in rags. The echad lovush itzelis bas meyomonim. And one is wearing a robe that's 100 monim. Right? Tremendously expensive beggar. So now they're both coming right to the dayan. So the Chazal say, how do we know? The judge, the dayan, is not allowed to paskin. Can't even start proceedings. Minayin, how do we know that she'oimrim loy lovush kemoisoy? We say to the dayan, we say to this. There are two choices over here, the dayan. Before we can begin, the dayan says like this. He says to the yosher, you have two choices. Either buy him a robe like you are, and he's going to stand in front of me wearing an expensive robe like you, or you take off your expensive robe and put on tattered clothing so you look like him. You can't stand in front of me, you dressed in an expensive robe, and he's going to be standing in front of me. And there's a reason for that, very strong reason, which we may not be sensitive to that. So the Gemara says, how do we know that this is the procedure? We say to the rich man, we say to the Yosher, in other words, clothe the other person, or are you dressed like the other guy, right? Or elevate him to your status, buy him a robe like you're wearing. Tam Loimka says, "Medvar sheker tirchok." Because if you don't do that, then you are going to be caught up in sheker. Why? Uperish Rashi. Rashi explains, "Lovush kemoisoy." Make sure that you, the rich man, are dressed like the poor man. Why? Shtoy tigram lonu. Because the sight of your riches in front of my eyes should not cause lisal chokponim. I shouldn't be enticed. I shouldn't be tempted to show you favoritism because I see right? I see it's sort of like royalty in front of me. Or it's another reason also, because you can imagine when the poor man is standing so humbly, right? So loss of self-esteem, and he sees who he's up against, he's going to lose his power, right? He's going to lose his power being able to present his case, right? Succinctly, incoherently, because he'll be intimidated. We don't want the Oni to be intimidated by the Oisher. So therefore we say the Oisher, Reb Oisher. He says, either dress him like you, or you dress like him, he says. This is what Rashi points out. Now, let's take a look now what Leib Chasman says about that. So go here. So it's a Vzelo Shra Gemara. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, Menayin L'Shraim, how do you know that you have two people? Shebo L'Din, again, you have two people who are coming to Din. They're coming to a Beis Din. Echad Lovish Smartutin, one is wearing Rashmatis, he's wearing tattered clothing. The Echad Lovish Istalis Basmeyamona, one is wearing expensive clothing. Shoim Ramloi, that we say to the rich man, either Lovish Kemoisoi, either dress like the poor man, because we don't want you to cause us, we don't want to be enticed to have to show favoritism by looking at you in such a high position. Right? Ayin Shom, as the Gemara says there. Now look what Rabbi Leib Chasman sees in this simple halacha. V'novayu cheshbon, says Rabbi Leib, let us make a chesed. This is how Baal Musar, how they understood human behavior. Look how Rabbi Leib looks at it, and he says, the Gemara is saying, Minayim, how do we know that this is the procedure? Sha'im l'moy. In other words, Hainu, Sha'dayonim yeshlem l'moymer came. The reason, again, why are we asking the Dayonim? Right? Why is it the Dayonim that the both litigants, right, should appear the same? Either both on a higher level, or both on a lower level? Why? Because if they're going to be outbalanced, if one is going to appear rich and one is going to appear poor, we're afraid that the dayan may be tempted to show favoritism to the one that's dressed as a rich man, because of the chashivus of his robe, neged hasheni, right? In contrast to the other one, shelovish smatutim, as Rashi says. Says Rabbi Leib Chasman. Now you realize this is halacha, is not simply speaking like a dayan, you know, in the year 2012. This is talking about a dayan whose name is Rashi. This is a dayan whose name is Rambam. This is a dayan whose name is Rosh. And if you have two people coming in front of the Rosh, you have two people coming in front of Rashi, which Rashi is right, and the Rambam, and these are the greatest tzaddikim, or let's say better, two Baal Adinim are coming in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu can never be accused, right, the way we understand, of being impartial. Moshe Rabbeinu would never be accused, right, to show favoritism. The halacha applies to Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's the dayan, that if you see two people in front of you, one is dressed in expensive robes, and one is dressed, right, in poverty, Moshe Rabbeinu would not be allowed, right, to go ahead with the proceedings until both are equal, no matter how great. This halacha is not mentioned only by certain dayanim. It's mentioned for any dayan. Nimtza. Look how he says it. It comes out. Shav dayan muvek umumche kemoshe Rabbeinu. Even the dayan who's sitting in front of you is the dayan that's so exceptional. He is such an expert, like Moshe Rabbeinu, ubidushosoi. And he has the kedusha and the chasidus and the piety. Misatev, you know, the dayanim of yesteryear used to wrap themselves in a talus. A dayan used to wrap himself in talus. So you have someone like a Moshe Rabbeinu, with his level of high kedusha, of his chassidus, and he wraps around himself, lodun din emes lamitoi, and he's going fully with his conviction that he's going to, right? He's going to judge an emes de gedin. By the way, when a dayan judges an emes de gedin, that's like creating shemayim v'yoris. The Gemara says for a dayan, because why? Because he's contributing to the stability of the world. A dayan shukibriya shemayim v'yoris. When a dayan paskins emes lamitoi, so that's like creating shemayim v'yoris. Will the oilam chazal also say very serious thing? A dayan should realize how dangerous it is if he's impartial. Should imagine like there's a sword between his thighs. If he says the wrong thing. The sword as if it's ready to pierce him. You have to realize what a serious position he's in. Dayan should always imagine, should imagine as if there's a sword right between his thighs, and therefore he has to be well balanced. He should also imagine that the Gehenna v'suchle mitachtov, that if he does the wrong thing, he just falls straight into the Gehenna. So imagine how serious. So we're talking about a Dayan like Moshe Rabbeinu, who can be sure sees all of that. He sees there's a sword in front of his thighs. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Gehenna Psuchim Etachtov. He sees how serious. He's so committed. Moshe Rabbeinu is on this high madrega. So Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there be'emu be'yira. Hare Yeshiv lo dayin zeh, so this dayin, you can be sure, is sitting there be'emu be'yira. He's sitting there with true Yerushamayim. He's sitting there with true Yerushamayim. Ki Hashem nisab laskeli, he understands that the Shechina is right here. Kodesh Baruch Hu was standing here. The whole machshavta, and you're sure that his whole machshove, his mind is basically focused on one thing. His mind is clearly in the sunnah, lahoisi psak dinochem. Right? Clearly, he's committed 100%. The chaz v'shon that I should veer off, but rather he's fully committed to bring out a psak dinochem, the proper psak. Bedin, and he will not show favoritism. V'loyateyu, he certainly will not bend the din. So now this gracious Moshe Rabbeinu, who is clearly committed 1,000,000% to doing the right thing, it's not shaykh in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind even to have a havi minute, even to have any single fraction of a thought that he would bend the din. Yet this great Moshe Rabbeinu was so committed to truth, if in front of him even, if two baladinim would come, if these same two litigants come in front of him, right? But Yedeya and Moshe Rabbeinu knows, Kibalho Istilis, he knows the person wearing the fancy robe is a Osher Godel, Bal Nechosim, the Takibir, he's a man with influence, he's a man who has power. And Hashemi, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the second person is a Oni Meduche, he's never a downtrodden poor man. Hamachazel Apsochim, who basically goes from door to door, right, to eke out some meager living. And the Pasuk says, do not be afraid of anyone, I don't care how influenced he is, the person who's coming in front of you, a dayan is not supposed to be affected by anyone. And Moshe Rabbeinu believes that and understands that, he's committed to that. You can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu clearly prepares himself, and the dayan clearly made himself ready, you can be sure that Moshe Rabbeinu in his own mind has clearly set himself up, I don't care who's standing in front of me, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, will not allow myself, right, to be swayed by who's standing in front of me, one more powerful than the other. You can be sure in his mind Moshe Rabbeinu was fully committed. Or if it would be Rashi, it would be the Rambam, whoever it is. And yet, raise a pella. Now look what Chazal come, and they say something amazing. Shalachra kozois, with all the kiddush of the dayan, right? With all the kiddush, is Moshe Rabbeinu, is Yeshua, is David HaMelech, is the dayan. Shloim HaMelech is the dayan. With all the kiddush, with all the commitment to truth. Achra kozois, kishoim dem lefona for osher kitztelusoi, bitztelusoi. When the osher is standing with his fancy robe, va'oni bismatutov, in his rags, Hichrizu Chazal say to the dayan, wait, you can't go ahead. Chazal is saying, they're making an announcement, Lamar. It is also, it's forbidden to you to begin. Why? Because you're going to be pushed to Sheker. If the two people standing in front of you are not, right, do not appear in front of you on same social standing, then without you even realizing it, what's going to happen is, kihincha miskarev lahasheker, you're going to be moved closer to the sheker, biroischa hashnayim, when you see and evaluate the two, bimabushayim elu, v'yesh chashash, yes, there is a chashash, shetis upon him, that you will show favoritism, lo'oisoi halovush istalis, the one that's wearing the fancy robe, v'tizakoisoi, and you will, right, you will make him right, you will make him righteous, you'll give him the right, shloik adin, against the din, says Rav Leib Chassman. It's astonishing, it's marvel, how are we supposed to understand that? Even the greatest dayan in the world, right? The same halacha applies that he's not allowed to begin proceedings if the two people in front of him are not equal. That such a tzaddik, al afi diyosa, even though he knows, memele. Say more than that. Right? So it's not, he knows. Ki arishon osher, he knows that the first one is an osher. Vasheni is oni. Right? And he realizes, he says to himself, it's not mashpi anything. It's not going to make a difference to me. Come Chazal, and Chazal say, be careful, right? Be careful, I'll call Zois, he says, Marishim, all of Chazal clearly are sort of imposing upon him, are scolding and making clear to him. They're showing him, listen, there's going to be a cherif. There's a sword, remembered. There's a sword between your thighs. Gehenem sucho metachtov. V'zayakim olav, and the cryat, Chazal are crying, he's a hair. Be careful, shloyichus roishcha. Make sure that the sword doesn't cut your head. The tip of the beishachas, and you fall down. This is in the depth of the pit. Ki oimer ato al avri pipchas, because you're now standing in the head in front of a great, he says, opening that you can fall into. Brach lachom is there. Run away. Do not judge them this way, in this position. That's an interesting thing. Realize one thing. Listen to one thing. The people are coming in front of him, because the point he's going to make is this. You have to realize it even goes further than that. You realize where the psychology that's taking place. The people are coming in front of him. One's coming dressed, right, in riches, and the other one is coming in rags. So he knows that this man is rich, right, and this man is poor. So Chazal say, hey, you can't begin the proceedings this way. Let them both put on tattered clothing. You're going to put on tattered, but you still know that this person is rich. He just came in a moment ago. 5 minutes ago, he's still wearing the rich robe. It means that there are subtle things, right, that the eye collects when there's a visual influence, which are so subtle that even though maybe in your mind you know that this person is an Oisha, this is an Oni, but we don't want it to have glaringly crying out and screaming at you, I'm an Oisha and I'm poor man. That subtle difference, switching clothing, even though you know that this is just a game, because you know this person is rich, after all is said and done. Or when the Oisha buys the fancy robes to the poor man, you know he's as poor as he is. The Oisha just bought him to stand before the Torah. But we see the visual effects and the influence that could have in the mind, the subconscious mind, can have such tremendous influence, as he goes on to say, V'kol kach loma, why are we so concerned? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu knows, right? Moshe Rabbeinu knows he's not allowed to show impartiality. He's not supposed to be impartial. He's not supposed to show favoritism. So, Ma kol rasha zeh? Haveyoymer, so it means ki chazal yordu, chazal went deep into the psyche of a person. Chazal went in the depth, that's something that you don't even realize yourself. Chazal went l'toch oymer koyches nafshe shalodom. They went into the depth, right? Into the depth of the psychology of a person, to the psyche, and Chazal revealed what's hidden in your heart, which you don't even know. V'gilu matzpoyne liboy. Loy melacho. Shekol odom yeh mishiyeh. Chazal say, I don't care how great you are. Shekol odom yeh mishiyeh. Chazal are revealing this to us. It doesn't make a difference. Yeh mishiyeh. Af ha-chosid v'ha-kodesh b'yoyser. Imrak odom hu. But you're a boss of Adam. And if you're a boss of Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu is a boss of Adam. Dovid HaMelech, whoever it is. If you're odom, the ene boss aloi, what you have is physical eyes. Miki mishiroi lefonav. The effects of the visual. If you see in front of you, right? If you see in front of you, it's the list v'star matutin. On the one hand, you see a robe, and then you see rags. Lo yoyaloi kolzit koysov etaharziboy. All the musa can go down the drain. All the musa that you've studied, everything, because the fact what you see now in front of you, ubal kochach, against your will. This is the way it works. It functions against your will. Ubal kochach yesh chashash, against your will. Even though certainly you don't want to, because in your mind, of course, you want to do the truth. You want to do the right thing. But there's the chashash that the eyes, he says, so it's the list, right? When he sees this robe, kibrak yoifio, he sees how glaringly, right, in its beauty it stands out, v'tasiseu, it may entice him, lisoponim, lebaleo, that he should show favoritism to the owner, ulahatis adim. Ad koi koyachriya so ayim. So great is the koyachriya, so never underrate it. What the eye can do. Riya sa'ayim. The eye sees something, we have no idea the power what it means to see something. You see him in robes, him you see in rags, that's the koich of a riya sa'ayim. Vloyoid, he says. He says, now, it's one another thing. Yeah. Now look, he says further. He says, umata, go to the next paragraph. Umata nizvoy nenoid. He says, let's look further, he says. Hine Shemei Avada Hadayim. So you can be sure, he says, Hadayim Lidvar Melu. So the Dayan is going to listen to this, right? Chazal just told us this. Okay, so let's play out the scenario. So now he says that you have the two people standing in front of you. And the Dayan was told that what you can't proceed, right, if they're not in equal standing. So now the Dayan, of course, is going to go ahead. Now what is he going to do? He's going to tell them to switch clothing. Don't switch clothing. So now what happens? So hine shemei avada hadayin l'dvor meilu. The dayan certainly is going to be listening, right? Umitzav elaso iskach, and he's going to, right? He's going to give instructions to the two baladinim, right? V'oz. So what happens? So poishet l'fonav v'ozir es itzalisoi. He's playing it out. So now imagine. So now the yoshe goes. He removes his robe. Or the other choice, what was the other choice? The other choice was to lend a second robe also to the poor man. Or imashal gamla baldina istalis. So now, once they switch clothing, kvar huter loy ledayin lisa velitn bedin. Now we give him a heter. Not only that, v'huftach ha-toyre, and the Torah now gives the bitachon, gives us the security. Now he did the right thing to distance himself from sheker. And that is, now the truth is going to be in front of him. Now the truth. And we ask ourselves, wait a minute. But a moment ago he himself saw that this person was wearing the robe, and right, this is the tattered clothing. So just because now he goes and switches the clothing, how's that going to help? The answer is because now he sees different. And the koyach of riyah, so ayin, is something, right, that is able to have influence to the depth of a person's leanings. This is the nekuda that he points out. Because it's a pella. So you switch clothing for the moment, but I know that he's rich and he's poor. But there's a big difference than just knowing it and seeing it. That's the nekuda he says. But on the oyim de mutumayim, look at him, we stand, he says, and we're astonished. What kind of a game is this? They're going to switch clothing. But I know that he's rich and I know that he's poor. Pliya hi beinenu. It's a big pliya, it says. It's astonishing. Hech porach memenu kol masoi ponim bregeach. How in 1 second? So they switch begotten. How long it takes to switch clothing? 5 minutes. So how's it pshat in rega echad? All of a sudden there's no more favoritism. But he still has in his mind. He still has in his mind. He still has in his mind that the oni appeared to him. Right? The oni appeared to him is in his rags. Not only that, when the oni puts on his robes, he still sees the rags underneath the robe. In his mind. So what's the big deal that the oni now is going to put on the expensive robe? Right? He borrowed it for a short period of time. He borrows this expensive robe. Right? Something that he borrowed for a short time. Or the other way around. Even though the Oisha, let's say, puts on the poor clothing, the rags, but he still sees the Oisha in his robe. Hamazhiro, right in that beautiful robe, show you love his bakarega. And he knows, and not only that, the Dayan knows as soon as the Torah is over, the Dayan knows the Oisha is going to put back his robe on. He knows that also. So Mamela, he says, V'yalbishem ashuv alach gemadim. V'hiim nis'ashe zehoni. The Oni all of a sudden become rich in influence by putting on the robe. Right? For this short time? She'll be shoy oisoy that he put on his man hadin istalis noe? Or the other way around, when the oisha puts on the tattered clothing, does that mean the oisha now became poor? Or yorad ho oisha menachosa bezesha loifshim smatut and lechon? Asma, he says, that's a pella. So I wonder, how can that be? So the truth in his mind, the dying knows all the true facts. He knows that. Avokach gozra toirak doishim. But the toirak doishim, the Torah goes deeper than that. Toirahim in Hashemayim. The only one who is able to know deep, deep, deep what affects a person, right? Is the Torah had to come in Hashemayim to tell you. Who Hayoyser Hu Aboy? Because Hashem, He created man. So Hashem Baruch Hu knows all the tendencies, every little nuance which is within man. To the Torah, only the Torah is able to tell us, right? Is able to give us this information about how you can become affected by so subtly. Hoydiyonu calls Ois, right? And Lalfenu Bino, and to teach us understanding. Mahu Koyach Ofrim and Adoma. After all, we are all Ofrim and Adoma. We become influenced in the most subtle of ways. She'av bal moyach godol v'leiv kodesh. That even somebody has a tremendous mind, and he has a holy heart. Yochel kol kafto. You know, any says, any fancy button, he says, can already have, which I see in front of my eyes. Misnoit says, right? Lishardoi that already moves forward to bribe him. Ulahapiloi bershusoi, and he falls into the trap by looking at something. Aide habota bialma, and so on. This is the tremendous koyach. Turn on the sheet on the side, Rabbi, to save some time here. So let's take a look. Number four. So the bottom line is, so what do you learn? What's midvar sheker tirchok? You don't have to say anything to be sheker. If you have, look, innocently, the Oisha comes in with his rich robe, right? And the Oni comes in. The Oisha is not presenting himself what he's not. He's coming in with, he can afford a rich robe. Yet this situation is a situation of sheker. Midvar sheker tirchok. The Torah understood that this is not going to come out good. It's not going to play out well if the Dayan sees this situation in front of him. Nobody said any sheker. Nobody did anything outright to try to fool anybody, to cheat anybody. This is the way. He comes in the way he's dressed, and he comes in the way he's dressed. From here we learn. Shuhazor, the warning when the Torah says, Torah Doshe, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, Einirak Misheker Gas. We think about a filthy, disgusting type of a sheker. An outright lie. That's not even what the Torah is talking about. That's Poshet. The Torah is going about even startled Shikorim. Things that are not. He said, we're not talking about a Sheker Gas. Sheker Gas, you know. So a Grobeling, he says. He said, for Ocher, which is disgusting, Haroivis, the fun of Umevel Tea, like an abomination. We're not talking about outright lies even. Torah wants to tell you to distance yourself from your own eyes. Don't allow your eyes to be deceitful. Don't lie, because your eyes are going to see something and they're going to therefore dissuade you in a direction where you never intended to go. And even so, holy eyes, right? The holy eyes are the greatest tzaddik in the world. If you're the dayim, the same halacha applies to you. No matter how kedushah your eyes are, no matter how balmoyach godly you are, the great balmoyach, he says, the eyes of a godl hador v'tzadik yisod olam. Doesn't make a difference who it is. Could be a Divrei Chaim, could be a Rav Moshe, could be a Rabban Kotler. The same halacha would apply to everybody. You're talking about people whose eyes, he says, even never looked out of the Dalai Lamas. But if they're going to see the poor man standing next to the rich man in different clothing, that vision of those eyes that are always so protected, but when they see what they see now, it's going to have an effect on them, he says. He says, those eyes, his eyes that never looked out of Chutz Adal Adam Oysev, Rak V'Toyer V'Kedusha Yosim Ponov. Eyes which basically always focused in Toyer and Kedusha. Gam Minayim Elu Shakroni Yosem. You see, these eyes are Sheker the guys. Because it's giving you the wrong impression. Kazvoni Yosem. It's because we said they're deceitful. Meisisois Umeidichois Ledayin Muvig V'Chosin. No matter how great tzaddik you are, Lahatoy Sadim. To bend it in, V'Elis upon him, and you may show favor him, right? To a shmata that's called a robe, he calls it. A robe, what's a robe? So a shmata, he says. Look at what is it? To a shmata, he's a smartut hanikri, it's he calls it. Shmata that's called robe. So he says, you know what you see from here? Ochen kol mishyesh le moich bekot kodoy. Anybody has a little moich in his brain, in his head. Ve liboy chai bekirbo yizdazeya. He said, Poshet, he says, this should cause someone to tremble. Right? Yizdazeya misarecho, it would cause you to tremble. The yifcheh lenafshoy, now, see how much you have to worry about your own nefesh, in your own life. Al goyil, we know that we are no far from being this great tzaddik. If this applies, that the influence, that the eyes can lie, even to a great tzaddik, so imagine ourselves, he says. So this should cause a tremendous pachad and a concern, that we should be worried. But on the other hand, we should be besimcha, that the Torah told us, what to be worried about? Because we never would have thought that's an issue. So I see him this way, and I see him that way. But Tadisheni is Mala Simcha Gedoyle Vatsumo. The Yoida Hashem is Baruch should give thanks to Hashem, Ashabochabonu Mukolamin, that He chose us and gave us a Torah to teach us. To teach us things that we never would have been aware of, that this is an issue. Lohoiros lono hecha derech lisrachi, mikos konas kishlin, from falling into trouble. Lolechis bederech chaim wemitiim. And to go into the path of true life, chaya netzach, eternal life, adain sof and so on. So that's been clear here. So I want to tell you, Rabbi Isai, regarding, we're sort of like out of town here on this, out of time on this. And there was a lot of discussions, which is it's an important situation which I should mention. I don't want to focus too much. There's a tshuva in Tshuvas van Hoges from Moshe Sternbuch. In the world of Dentiris today, there's a little bit of a problem. And that is with the what's called the Toyanim. The rule of Toyanim is that people hire someone. You have a dentoyer with someone, and you know we're not all the greatest talmid chachamim, and but it's not even that. Sometimes we just don't feel we don't have a glib tongue as the other person against us, and maybe we feel that we're not able to present our case. So you have what's called the professional Toyanim, which they are sort of like lawyers. They look a little different. I never went to law school, but upon them, which they basically, you hire them, and they're very professional what they do, and they are hired basically to present your case, and the problem is to see that you win, and which means that many times they may be advancing a lot of information that may not be exactly true, or maybe trying to use certain tactics, and the truth is there is high power Toyanim, which is known. I know a lot of names of people, and people take them because they sort of have reputation, they sort of like win the cases, and it's not based on the always because it's simply because of the koyach that they have, and the I don't want to use the how cunning they are, but yes this is the way they are, and this is something that has been written about. The Debrecen Rov wrote it many years in Shalsi Chuvas Ber Moshe, and there are certain Botadinim that have banned What do you mean a toyim? You come and say, in other words, you say what you have to say, you say what you have to say. And the Bezdin will listen, and they'll pass him based upon what they heard you say. What do you mean you need a professional toyim? Professional toyim, you know, there's ways, due to the experience that he has, is to be able to, basically, it's a whole totally new story, something that you never even heard about. He's speaking on your behalf. And he's telling you information, rather than you giving him information to sell. So that's an issue, and this is something which has been, Moshe Sternbuch also writes it in Sefer Shoes in August, and says, unfortunately, it's not always the case, not always, but this is a situation which happens, and he says that at the present time, it seems very difficult, sort of like to stem the tide. So these are things that are going on. Now let me mention this to you. Talking about Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Here is a situation, this is from Rabbi Kivego, who wrote in a tshuva. Kivego writes that the truth is, I did not have in mind, he says, to answer this particular shaila. Did not have in mind to answer this particular shaila. But when I met you, and you asked me the shaila, I think I nodded my head. And if I nodded my head, he said, I'm afraid of Midvar Sheker Tirchok, even if I didn't say anything. So the nodding of the head also is making a statement. Loshum Kiveger is, you have to see, Choshishani Ulai Nanesi Roshi Kitzas. Maybe I shook my head a little bit, which meant that give the impression that I will answer you. Ukiderach Havtoche Lozeh Mukhruchani, that forces me, Lutseis Megidri, Ulaheshiv Achapam. So now we'll answer. So see how great Gedol Yisrael, how careful they were. Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Right? They didn't say anything. Maybe he shook his head, and it gives the impression the other person thinks that he agreed. So I'm worried, maybe. And that's why Machayev me that I should write this. And the truth is, I want to show you that Ruchon of Asaman, in Koyv Yishurim, at the end of Chelik Beis, there are some letters. So there in Daf Pei Dalet, he writes, sometimes when somebody says something to you, and you keep quiet, Shosak, or Hirchen Baroish, or you shake, says Rabbi Chonon, if it's not the truth, and you shook your head, Vadai also lasaskein, v'oiver mishu midvar sheker tirchok, says Rabbi Chonon. So midvar sheker tirchok, one should not say midvar sheker, only if you're saying it. But if you're merely shaking your head, right? But you're shaking the head and conveying wrong information by shaking your head, either for no or for yes, that's also clearly part of midvar sheker tirchok, says Rabbi Chonon. So the interesting thing is, when the Chofetz Chaim, when he put out his Mishnah Berurah, but you realize the Chofetz Chaim's work was a Mishvur was 25 years or 26 years. That's what it took him. But you have to realize in those 25 years he wrote other things as well. So it's not just Mishnah Berurah. But the Mishnah Berurah, the fact is, the Mishnah Berurah from the beginning of starting the project till the end took him 25 years to write on all of Or Chaim. And so Chofetz Chaim used to come from sometimes to give drushes, you know, because he's always trying to find opportunities to be misakin things, to rectify things, to fix things. So he came into a town to give a particular drosha, and he saw a poster. Chofetz Chaim sees a poster when it said, Chofetz Chaim, Shomer HaKoyen, the Mechaber, the author of the Sefer, Mishnah Berurah on Or Chaim. Right? So at that time, only Chelek Rishon, only the first volume was published. Right? Mishnah Berurah has six chalokim. At that time, only one chelik was published. Chofetz Chaim goes up to the poster, takes out his pen, and crosses it out. For now, we only have one chelik of the Mishnah Berurah. It's not on all of Or Chaim yet. So, poster said, the Machaber of Mishnah Berurah on Or Chaim. He says, no, he fixed it. Le'es Ato, he says, is only, he says, on one chelik. It's not on all of Or Chaim yet. And here's another thing which Chofetz Chaim brings. Many times, you know, when you want to raise children, and it's very common that parents, out of frustration, I mean, not even because of frustration, they just don't take it seriously. They promise things. They say to a kid, you know, do this and this and I'll give you that. So people think, I don't have to give it to him. It's just a child. So I said it, you know. Maybe a commitment is only if you commit something to adults. But to children, if you commit something, you don't have to, right? Stick and hold it. So listen what the Chofetz Chaim writes. Ra'isi anoshim, I've seen people that shemishtamshim bekotim, that they have a child run an errand be'ez dover umavtichin loy, and we promise them sheyiten lohem achekach dover, and we say to them, you know, do this and this, run an errand for me and I'll give you something. Ulbesayif lo yitnu lohem klum, and at the end they don't give it. Chofetz Chaim says, he says, shloi kidinovat, this is against, he says, the Torah. You know what the Isser is? It's no different, he says, than hiring, he says, an adult to do work for you and don't pay him. It's called koivish schar socher. Chofetz Chaim says withholding payment for someone who did a service for you applies to minors as well as to adults. Applies to a cotton also. If you tell a cotton, run me an errand, you know, he says, and I'll give you a new bicycle. Yeah. So you have to give it, or whatever the agreement was. And not only that, Chofetz Chaim says you have to pay it within the same day, because the Issur Bal Tollin applies not to leave overnight payment and wages, unless you make a condition ahead of time. They'll pay you later. Otherwise, all of the things kick in. So writes the Chofetz Chaim. Now, I just want to tell you something, which we're not knowing this way, but I should show you. Do you realize at the time of Chazal, in time of Mishnayos, when the Gemara discusses, you know, Yontif, they said a different shir shel yoyim. You know, Yontif, you know, we say in the weekdays, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, Shemoy Elavim. Yontif, they did not say the shir shel choil. They did not say the weekday, the one that we say on the weekday. So if Yontif came out on a Monday, they did not say the shir, the weekday shir of a Monday. So the Chasam Sofer writes in Be'ah Daf Hei, so I said, but we don't know what they said. So today, how do we do today? Today, if Yontif is on a Monday, we say the Monday Shira. We say the Monday Shira, because we don't know. But some Sofer says, being that we don't know what the real Shira is, so because we don't know, so we say the regular Monday Shira, he says. So what you should not say, Hayom Yom Sheini Sheboi Hoy Alvim Oimrim, because it's a lie. Because today the Devim didn't say that. They said the Yontif the Shira. Well, what should you say? He said, simply you should say, we should say the Shira, but don't say Hayim Yom Sheini Sheboi Alvim, because it's not true. Because today Yontif, they didn't say this. So when Yontif, by us, again, when Yontif falls on a Monday and a Tuesday, and we say the Tuesday Shira, right? But in the Beis Hamikdash didn't say it on a Yontif. But we don't know. We say the Monday, we say the two, whatever it is. We say the weekday Shira. But you can't say Hayim Yom Sheini, Hayim Yom Shlishi, that the Levim said they did not say it today. Today they said a different Shira. We are the ones, but not knowing, saying it. Again, Mitzvah Sheker Tirchak, says the Chasam Sofer, the Loshon is, Doivish Karim, use a Posik or Yikoyim. The Posik says, words of Sheker, you cannot present to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you're going to say Shira, and saying, Hayom, this is the Shira that they said, it's not true. They did not say it today, because it's Yontif. So we say Shir Shal Choyl, we say the weekday Shira. Now, another thing is, which is, you know, Ebal Tfilah Ebal Musaf. You know the Hagdomah before Musaf. And many times when you want to hire about tefillah, basically this is the you open up a maaz and say, let me see you say hineni hodim maaz. Let's see what it sounds like. Now, that's usually the problem, you know, when you want to give the addition. What the opening line is? Hineni hodim maaz. The tefillah says, I am poor of deeds. Right? And as you stand humbly before Hashem, so he makes a little introduction. Who am I to be a shliach tzibur? Right? So what does he say? Hineni hodim maaz. He says, I am the poor of deeds. Right? What else is he saying? Nirash v'nifchad. I'm standing here mipachad. I'm standing here in pachad. I'm standing here in fear. I'm trembling. It's the Yom Adin. The Yola Pian never said it, because he says, you know why? I don't feel the fear. It's a lie. He left it out. How can I say nirash v'nifchad if I'm not trembling? He said. The Yola Pian did not say it. Again, ichashash of midvar sheket tirchok. Now, we all say it, the Gansefeld says it. But Chabon Belia Pian was so sensitive, he did not say this particular phrase. He says, it's not true, he said. Now, interesting thing is, Chofetz Chaim is, from time to time, he had money that he set aside to be Mekayim, Gemachim, Mitzvahs Gemilas Chasodim. So, there are certain people who we know that they're not trusted to pay back. So, they came, also, and they requested a loan from the Chofetz Chaim. So being the requested loan, now the Chofetz Chaim did not want to lie to say, I don't have money. Because they did have the money. But yet, what's he going to say? I don't want to lend you. They don't want to say that either. What did Chofetz Chaim do? Chofetz Chaim had a son-in-law with Tzvi Hirsch Levinson. Chofetz Chaim went over to his son-in-law and said, I mafkir all my money to you. So now I have no money. Now he says, I have no money. Yeah, okay. Again, being careful what you say. Said, no one had, listen, I can't lend him the money, but again, I can't say I don't have money, I do have. He made the Hefker his money. I guess he trusted his son will give it back to him, okay? So not everybody can do that. But this is the Maaseh of the Chofetz Chaim. Let me just tell you one more Nekuda. One Nekuda. Resimcha Zisl, right? Resimcha Zisl, the Alt of Slobodke. He went to be Mevake Choyle. He went to be Mevake Choyle, and you know, you have somebody sitting in the hospital, and the Choyle was in pain, and he's groaning. And the chayla was groaning, the sick man was groaning, and he goes over to him and says, maybe you might be groaning a little more than it hurts. It's also medvay sheker tichok. It's all medvay sheker tichok. Don't groan the next year, only groan as much as you have to. As a typish medvay, he says, don't groan all that much. So let me just mention the following final thing. Chazon Ish had, a private minyan in the house from Mincha. And the Zman Mincha was B'derech Chal, was 1 o'clock. It was a minyan mitzumtzum, mamish exactly 10 people, 10, 11 people. Supposed to be a very small minyan. And Reb Shmuel Greinemann, which is Chazon Ish, Reb Shmuel Greinemann, brothers-in-laws, and that's their whole family over there. So he came over to Chazon Ish. He said to him, listen, it was 5 minutes to one. They didn't have minyan yet, so they realized that they still have to find a tenth to minyan. So he goes up to him. He says to him, Shmuel Greinemann says, "Listen, I made an appointment with someone. He's supposed to meet me something like 1:15 or 1:20. And the way I see is that the minyan is not going to start on time, so I may be late for the appointment. What should I do?" Then he says, "You know what? You said you're going to be there 1:15. You be there 1:15." Go away. We don't have minyan. We're not going to daven today. He said, "We daven someplace else." Chazon Ish. Dvar sheker tirchot. You said you're going to be there 1:15. You make sure to be there 1:15. We're not going to worry about the minyan.